What to do when you're under attack, next on The Balanced Word.
All around us, the truth is we are under attack. There are people, there are situations that threaten our very existence. A wise position for us is to find our protection in the Lord. And by faith, David, though he obviously felt fear, he was saying, but I'm not going to do it. Why? Because of who God is. Again, if God's my light and my salvation, if he's my life, who am I going to be afraid of?
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Hi there, friend, and again, welcome to The Balanced Word. We're glad you could join us today as we continue our study of the Psalms. Today we find King David surrounded by enemies who wanted to kill him. Through this experience, he learned the remedy to fear, as well as some valuable principles he could apply to his relationship with the Lord. We stand to benefit. Well, today Pastor Dave Rolfe will show us why God sometimes has us in the waiting room. Rather than grow impatient and resist it, we'll learn to appreciate and welcome what God has for us.
David knew about hard times. See, he was under attack constantly. There were those who were trying to kill him. If it wasn't King Saul, it was his son Absalom or the Philistines or whoever. Always people after him. And in the Psalms, we see the expression of a heart that is often backed up against a wall, that's often trapped in a corner. And we see David learning about a relationship with the Lord as a result of going through difficult times and being under attack. Here in Psalm 27, we see that David is not only surrounded by his enemies and they are attacking him. There are others who are false witnesses who are making accusations against him. And the intimation that even his family has kind of bailed on him and forsaken him. And it's in the midst of this kind of a situation that we see David looking to the Lord and finding his help and his support, his security, his comfort in God himself. But as he starts in verse 1, we read, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." So he starts out by saying, I have all kinds of reasons to be afraid, but I am choosing to turn my back on fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Paul told Timothy, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. You know, when the Bible talks about fear not, and it says that a lot, Jesus says it a lot. Don't fear, don't fear. David says it a lot in the Psalms. It's not that you shouldn't feel that fear. The real issue when it comes to fear is, are you going to act on your fear? Or are you going to choose to say, I am not going to let fear determine who I am and what I do. Fear is an interesting capacity, an interesting emotion. It's amazing. We can be afraid at the drop of a hat if something just surprises us. Someone can come up behind you and say, boo, and you jump, you're afraid. A mouse running across a floor can scare a lot of people. Or a snake on TV, and some people are afraid. And sometimes there are things that we should be afraid of. They really threaten us. But so often, our fears are grounded in something irrational. It's what makes terrorism so effective. That some terrorists, and the whole idea of terrorism is to try to help us to live in fear. And so they take a couple of airplanes and they crash them into the Twin Towers. And everyone in the country is supposed to be afraid. So often, there are people. Look at how we change our whole behavior on the basis of an attack like that. Now, okay, there might be a percentage that something may happen to you as a result of terrorists that may really hurt you. But for the most part, it's probably not going to happen. Somebody today is probably not going to hijack an airplane and say, what we need to do is head down to Aliso Viejo and crash it into Pacific Hills Church. No. But see, every one of us, when we go fly somewhere, we have to stand in a three-hour line now so they can make 80-year-old ladies take their shoes off and put them in the x-ray machine. And terrorism is having its effect. It's causing everyone to live differently as a result. I remember a few years ago after the big anthrax scare, I was speaking at Calvary Costa Mesa that night. Chuck was away. And some people came up afterwards with this look of just sheer panic on their face. And I said, what's the matter? And they said, there's some white powder over on the back of the pew. And I look over there and there's people crowding around. It's like they have sealed the perimeter and there's white powder on the pew. And so I said, well, let me go look at it. Are you sure? Shouldn't we call 911? No. Let me just look at it. And so I went over and I came over to the back of the pew. It was the fourth row there in the front. And there was some white powder on the pew. And people were looking at me, what's he going to do? And I went over and I stuck my finger in it and I went like that and tasted it. And I said, no, it's okay. And people, they thought I was completely nuts. I might have poisoned myself with anthrax. You don't know what it is. How could you? But it's simple mathematics. It's common sense, really, that I didn't know what was on the pew. And okay, it could have been someone poisoned it. But intuitively, I had this feeling that if Al-Qaeda is getting together and planning an attack, it's probably not going to be on the fourth row at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa on an off night. You know, it's just. And yet, fear can grip our lives in such a way that it completely forces us out of our normal routine and causes us to live in a way that we really don't want to live. There are many people who are lonely and will continue to be alone for the rest of their lives because they're just afraid to reach out to someone. They're afraid to take a chance at loving someone. There are other people who have phobias of, they can't even go out of the house because they're afraid of the marketplace. They're afraid of public places. There's actually, I read on the internet, there's a real phobia that they call sermon fear. Or they actually call it homilophobia. And it's the fear of sermons. And they have people that charge a lot of money to help you to get over your fear of sermons. I've had it sometimes, but there are so many things that dictate our lives. At some point, we have to decide, am I going to live in fear? Or am I going to find my security somewhere? Not that I won't be afraid, but that I'm not going to allow fear to dictate who I am. It's funny, little things that can scare you or get your adrenaline pumping. One time, Ann and I were in the house and we heard a thumping in our cabinet in the kitchen. It's like boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, well, some animal got in here. And she didn't want me to just fire a few shots through the door, you know, because it would mess up the kitchen. So, you know, we made barriers around the kitchen. And then I'm trying to get Ann to hold this box, and I've got a broom, and I'm going to open it up, and boom, I'm going to nail this animal into this box, and we'll get it out in the backyard, and we won't talk about what we'll do with it. And so it's all set, we're ready, and it's boom, 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 boom. And finally, okay, I get the door, and I flip it open. And one of our kids' remote control cars was up in the cabinet. The joystick was kind of leaning, and boom, 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 this truck was trying to get out of the cabinet. And I'm thinking, here's a toy truck that has my heart pumping more than it has done in a long time. And I realized, wow. But people even enjoy fear. You'll pay to see a movie that will scare you. Or you'll go to an amusement park and ride on a ride because, oh, it'll frighten you. And yet, all around us, the truth is we are under attack. There are people, there are situations that threaten our very existence. A wise position for us is to find our protection in the Lord. And by faith, David, though he obviously felt fear, he was saying, but I'm not going to do it. Why? Because of who God is. Again, if God's my light and my salvation, if he's my life, Who am I going to be afraid of? God is the one who can help me not just to eliminate fear from my life, but to overcome fear and to not allow fear to cripple me, to freeze me. You may have had those dreams where you're scared someone's coming after you and you're just stuck. You can't move. You try to scream and you can't make a noise. Well, that's kind of what fear does to you. It causes you to freeze up. And David now was surrounded by real enemies who really wanted to kill him. This was no idle threat. But he said, I'm not going to fear because I know God. I'm not going to fear even though these people want to destroy me. I am choosing to, by faith, look at that fear and say, no, you don't. You're not going to rip me off. Not this time. He goes on, though, and gets more. He has a confidence in the Lord. And then beginning in verse 4, he talks about, because of the fact that God protects us in these first three verses that you see, now he goes into the presence of God. Because if God is our life, if he's our strength, if he's our protection, David acknowledges, I need to get as close to him as I can. And so he says, one thing. Here's what it comes down to. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He says, what I really want to do is I want to be at home in God's house. But he's not saying, I know how I can fix it. I'll just go to heaven. But what he's saying is, I want heaven to come down here. I want to dwell in God's house all the days of my life. The 23rd Psalm, as we saw last week, talks about goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But he's saying, I want to dwell in his house now. I want to be close to him, to inquire in his temple, to learn from him, to see his beauty. He says, 4, verse 5, in the time of trouble, he'll hide me in his pavilion. If I'm close to him, I'll be safe. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. So David says, I have the remedy to fear. And it's God. He's greater than anything I'm afraid of. But now he says, I better get close to him. Because the further I get from him, the more danger I see. The more reasons to be afraid. The closer I am to him, the more secure I feel. The Bible tells us over in Hebrews that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek the Lord. The Bible also talks about the fact that God is seeking for us. But it also says that we are rewarded if we seek him. So what does it mean to seek him, to try to get closer to him, to come into an awareness of his presence? Now, God is everywhere, and he takes care of us. It's not an idea of we need to find out where he is and get close to him. You know, you're so close to him right now that he is the God in whose hand your very breath is. But what we mean when we say, oh, Lord, we come to you today, we're saying, God, as we worship you, as we gather together, we want to be aware of how close you are. He's always close. We talk about, even in the song that we sang this morning, I don't want to fall away. You're not going to fall away from him. He's everywhere. But if our awareness allows us to lose sight of who he is, in our minds and in reality, in our hearts, we are falling. We're slipping away. He seems like he's a long ways off. And David realized, because he is our strength and because he is our light, because he is our life, he's our protection. When we get in trouble, we need to stick close to him. It's always kind of cute to watch little kids with their parents. It's in their nature to want to wander away. And so if you chase them, they'll run. And I see it in the building here after church so often. Little kids just taking off, and they love to have this much space to run around, and they feel somewhat safe. But all of a sudden, they'll check back every once in a while, and if they don't see their parents or their grandparents, they get really scared. They want to run free, but they want you to stay close enough that will give you a security. And I think a lot of times that's the way we are with God. We just want him to stay close enough, but at arm's distance. Like the children of Israel, when God spoke from heaven, and they heard him giving the law, and it freaked them out. It was scary to be that close to God. And so they all got together, and they came to Moses, and they said, look, why don't you make a deal with God that God speaks to you, and you can tell us what he said. We don't want to hear him anymore. It's just too scary. So often, that's our approach toward the Lord. I want to be okay with him. I want his guarantee of my salvation, things like that. But at the same time, I don't want to get too close. Because sometimes people I know that get close to God, they start acting kind of weird. It's just sort of embarrassing. They, you know, we're comfortable pretending like God is close, but there are some people who really know it. Seems like they hear from him, they see him. Well, David was saying, that's where I want to be. I want to be close. I want to be as close as I can because that's where my security lies. If I'm under attack, I want to be with him. I've heard people several times on an airplane with Pastor Chuck, and people will come up. And I remember one time a flight attendant came up and said, Pastor Chuck, anytime you're on a plane when I'm working the flight, I feel so good. And he goes, oh, thanks. And she said, yeah, because I know God's not done with you yet. So if I'm on a plane with you, I'm okay. In reality, that should be our attitude toward the Lord. If I stick close to him, he will not only protect me, but I will enjoy his presence. I'll worship him in spirit and truth. I'll communicate with him. I'll hear his voice. And that's what David is saying. I will hide in him. He will hide me from anything that would threaten me. And so he starts with saying the remedy to fear ultimately is to understand the power of God and his protection over us. And he says, my response is I want to go to his presence. I want to be close to him. I want to seek for him. I want to get to know him more. Then as he moves beyond this, he makes it even more practical, beginning with verse 11. And he says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, he talks about the protection of God's strength. Then he talks about his presence and how that's the best place to be when you're under attack. And now he begins to talk about God's path, the place where he is leading. Every one of us, we start life in a certain place. And there's another destination to which God is taking us. And all along, every day, every decision that we make, we either follow the pathway of God, and it's smooth sailing compared to being out of his will. But because we have free choice, we can choose to try to find our own way to get there on our own. Sometimes it's an interesting adventure just to not know where you're going. Like most men, I don't like to ask for directions. And so there have been plenty of times when we are off somewhere and I have no idea where I am. Well, what I do is when Ann expresses concern, I pretend like I know where I'm going. And it used to be kind of a joke with us. So where are we going to dinner? And I go, and I'm just like driving around in a neighborhood I'm not familiar with and saying, oh, I have a special place. I promise you, you'll be happy when we get there. It's a surprise. And I'm going, how do you get out of this neighborhood? And what do you do? And often on our vacations, where are we going now? Oh, we're just enjoying, but I know where we're going. I didn't know, but I wasn't about to ask for directions. The closest thing I do in asking for directions is because Ann has a really bad sense of direction. So what I do when we come to a T intersection, I say, "Ann, what do you think, right or left?" She says, "Right." And I turn left. And it's almost always right, correct. It's almost infallible. I remember one time when it didn't work, though, because I said, "Ann, which way do you want to go? Which way do you think we should go?" And she goes, "Left." And so I turned right. And the road got smaller and more narrow. And I'm like, "This can't be right." And I said, "Ann, did you really think that we should go left?" And she goes, "Oh, no, I thought we should go right. So I thought, go left." So it kind of defeated, the system kind of broke down at that point. But the truth is, where we are right now, we're backed into a corner. We're in a jam. Life is falling apart for us. We're under attack. What we desperately need, once we know God is with us and we understand that he has the power to protect us, now we need to go, "Okay, God, how do I get out of here? What way do you want to lead me? Where is your path? Where is your road? What are you telling me to do?" Because if we just feel good with God being with us, and then we go, "Okay, I'm all better," and we don't move, and things don't change, then we're still in the same situation, under the same threats. But everything we get ourselves into, God has a way of getting us out of it. That's why it says that there isn't any temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who won't allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. In other words, whenever you get in a jam, God will give you a way out. Right now, you may think you're backed into a corner, but there is a way out. There is a path out. Whatever you've done to mess up your life, whatever consequences you are suffering because of bad decisions that you have made, God doesn't want to just come and go, there, now you feel better, it's okay. He wants to go, "Okay, once you're feeling better, let's go. Let's make a move. Here are the changes that you need to do in your life in order to take you to the place where I really want you to be."
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. With more about God's plan for you and me, here's Pastor Dave Rolfe once again.
Where you are right now, it may be exactly where God wants you to be right now, but I guarantee you, his plan for you involves movement. His plan for you involves change. He wants to take you from where you are and take you to where he plans for you to be. And it's a good place. And it's better than anything that we've ever known. And so he uses this fear sometimes to get our attention. And then he goes, "Okay, you're ready to change? You're ready to move? If you're not, okay, stay where you are. If you like life the way it is, fine." But David understood, "God, not only do I need you to protect me, to provide for me, to comfort and strengthen me, but I need you to lead me." And so he says, "God, your path, lead me in a smooth path. Teach me your way, O Lord, because of my enemies. I want out of here. But I want to get out of here the way you want me to get out of here. And if I'm so afraid that I won't move, I'll stay where I am. I'll be like a deer in the headlights. I'm just stuck. We have that same capacity to freeze up when we're afraid. Well, God wants to get us off the road. He wants to get us on his road.
Well, that's going to do it for today, but we do look forward to another great time together in the Psalms next week. Join us right here for The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And remember, when you're under attack, cling to the Lord with trust and wait upon him. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play with.